chapter of the book of Luke. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We're going to start reading at verse number 30. We'll read down through verse 38. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much gain again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Let us pray. Father, again, we thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. And we ask you, God, tonight to just bless these services in a special way. Help us tonight, Lord. Help this preacher as he preaches. And Lord, for all of us, as we hear the truths of God's Word, Lord, that they'll do something in our hearts, something special, Lord, to help us to be more like you. And I just pray your will be done in these services. And Father, even in the invitation, Lord, that the will of God be done. Whatever it is, it's upon our hearts. It needs to be accomplished, needs to be done tonight. We ask you to do it, and we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 38 that I read out of our text says, give, and it shall be given unto you. He said a good measure. That means a full measure. A good measure, a full measure. And he says that it'll be shaken, pressed down and shaken together. In other words, if you ever take a measure of something, maybe it would be some wheat or whatever it might be, and you want to shake it down, you want to get it as all close together as you can get it. And he says, and then you can just take something and just press it in, press it down, and then just fill it to the top and let it run over. That's what God is saying. He says, if you'll give, he said, with that measure that you give with, the same measure will be used, only we'll shake it down, we'll press it down, and he said, we'll run it over, and he said, that'll be given into your bosom. That's what God says. That's kind of the principle of reaping and sowing. You always reap more than you sow. If you haven't found that out, I mean, you know, these farmers, if they'd be in real trouble, if they didn't reap more than they sowed. Amen. That's the way God does it. You see, he always gives us more than we ever sow. That's just God. That's our great God. He does that. Now, I want to stop for a moment. I want to say something to you. I want you to know that this old health and wealth gospel that's preached sometimes in America, and we're going to talk about some things. I want to get this in first. This health and wealth gospel, in other words, boy, you give and you'll be rich. First of all, that's the wrong principle. You know, God does some marvelous things and gives to us and helps us, but he wants us to give because it pleases God, not because we're looking for something big to come our way. Now, many times God does wonderful things for us, and he's not kidding in his word. He never lets you or I ever outgive him. But you've got to understand that it's not always, what he gives us is not always money and material things. God blesses in so many, many, many ways in our life, my goodness sake. So you're not going to outgive God, but I want you to understand that this here old thing that goes around the country, and these people, you know, tell you, they'll send you a cloth, and you then, you know, take that cloth and whatever you're supposed to do with it, and send money back with it, of course. Send money back with it. Boy, you'll be blessed and all that. That's foolishness, and it dishonors Christ. It's not what it's all about, you see. R.G. Letourneau, I know many of you have heard about him. He's been used as an example for years and years and years. He's the one invented earth-moving equipment. He invented that. And he got to the place in his life where he gave 90% of his money that came in and kept 10%. That's what he did. And he said it came in so fast, and he said, I couldn't hardly keep up with the 10%. Didn't hardly know what to do with the 10%. But he was the one that made the statement. He said, it's like God and I have a shovel. He said, I shovel it to him, and he shovels it back, and he's got a bigger shovel. And, that's just the way God is. And he said, that's the way he lived his life, you see. But I want you to understand something. He didn't start with 90%. He started with 10%. He started like the rest of us. We start with our tithe and then our offering and all those things. And that's the way he started. He got to the place where God was so blessing, led him to give 90% of what came in to him. That was something. But what I'm saying is, you don't go out here to give and say, okay, I'll give so God just keep pouring it in with his shovel so I can get this or that. You understand what I'm saying? I just want you to have an understanding of it. Giving takes sacrifice. And when you begin to give, God allows you to sacrifice. It takes sacrifice. And he may down the road bless you in all kinds of other ways. But your giving needs to be a giving of sacrifice, you see. And sometimes we feel that sacrifice. There's no doubt about it. When you give, you feel the sacrifice, you see. In fact, I don't think we've given until we have sacrificed. I believe that. That's what I believe in my heart. I believe real giving is sacrifice. I believe that's what Jesus did. He really sacrificed when he gave himself. So I think real giving is sacrificial giving, you see. But let me tell you this. God's payday will come. It may not come when we think it will, but it'll come at the proper time in our life, or it might come in eternity. I'm just simply saying to you, God will never let you outgive him. Now, I want you to be a people that gives to God in so many different ways, not just material, not just with money, but I want you to be a giver unto the Lord. And one of these days, let me say to you, you won't be sorry that you gave unto the Lord. The Bible tells us, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, God says there's a due season coming. I can't name the season. I don't know when the time is in your life. But if you just don't, you're not supposed to grow weary of well-doing. You just keep doing well. And there's going to be a season coming, he says, when you will reap. He said, if you faint not, just keep on doing it. Just keep on doing what is right, you see. And it'll all turn out all right. God will take care of everything. Now, my message tonight is, treasures, why so many? Why so many? I have some thoughts about this tonight. The reason I believe that God has made many Christians in America well off. I believe I have a principle tonight that I think is true principle, and I'm going to share with you why America is so rich. Okay? Why has God given us so many treasures? Why has he given us so much? We are blessed. Why has God done that? Is it because we're so deserving? We're so great that we're so deserving of it? Or what is God doing? Why is he giving us so much? I want you to go over to 2 Corinthians, please, the 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians, and I want to read these verses to you. We'll kind of go down through them. We'll do it kind of fairly quickly. But I want you to listen very closely. You've probably read these verses before. It's concerning giving. But listen as we read in 9th chapter, 6th verse. But this I say, 9th chapter, the 6th verse. And this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now that is one verse of scripture. I think if you would read that, and I would ask you to stand and tell me what God was saying, I think you all would probably say the same principle. God's saying, if you want a small crop, then you sow a small crop. If you want just a few stalks of corn, Brother Gordon, just sow maybe 10 or 12 seed out there in that field. Now, that's what God is saying. But if you want a big crop, you sow a whole lot of seed. I don't know, Brother Jack could tell you, and Brother Dallas and some of these at the farm, they could tell you how much per acre they sowed, probably seed per acre. I'm sure they probably could if we'd ask them. But anyway, if you want a big crop, then you're going to have to sow bountifully. You're going to have to sow a lot of seed. Amen. That's just a principle that God says in His Word. Okay? And then He says in verse 7, every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. And He says not to give grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Another principle is He tells us how to give. The man purpose in his heart. He said, you don't give grudgingly. You don't give and say, well, I wish I didn't have to give that. I got to give it, but I don't really want to give it. He says, no, you don't give grudgingly. You give willingly. And He says, not even of necessity. In other words, He said, well, it's necessary I give today. It's necessary that I get in this program. We need this building built, and we got to do. No, give because you got a willing heart. You give because it's right to give. Amen. A person who quits giving because there's not some special project going on, he's got a poor heart about giving. They don't understand. You give no matter what's going on. You just give. You see, that's what God is telling us to do. You don't grudge giving, and He says you don't do it just out of necessity, for He says God loves a cheerful giver. Now, you know, even in your Scofield Bible, if you have one, it talks about cheerful giver means hilarious giver. That's a person who just loves to give. You just love to give. Let me say this, and I want to do it respectfully. I want to do it in honoring God. But did you know God is a hilarious giver? He loves to give. That's what He does, is give. Did you ever think about it? He don't take. He gives. So God is a wonderful giver, and He wants us to be like Him. Amen? So it's what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to give because it's right to give. It's good to give, and we love giving. That's the kind of giver God says He loves, you see. In verse number 8, He says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. I'll come back to that in just a few moments. He said, as it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food. Now He says, God's the one that ministers seed to the sower. Okay, somebody has to give the seed to the sower who's going to sow it. And God said, I'm the one that ministers the seed. And at the same time, He says, He said, the sower both minister bread for your food. In other words, He's sure He takes care of also our personal needs. Bread for our food. He wants us not only to sow, but He wants us also to have those necessities of life. He knows we have to have those things, and He wants us to have them. And He said, multiplieth your seed sowing. God is the one who comes along and multiplies the seed that you and I can sow. He's the sower. He's the one that gives to the sower, and He multiplies that seed to us. And then He says, and increase the fruit of your righteousness. God is the one that gives the increase of the seed sown. Amen? He's the one that gives the increase. Those are simple truths, but I'm just trying to cover some of these as we get started here. And He says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. He said, we're enriched. Why? So that we can give and give forth bountifully to others. And He said, because of that, God is glorified. Thanksgiving goes to God. Isn't there been times in your life when there's been needs in your life and God has provided those needs and you've said, oh, thank God. Thank God for His goodness to us. Well, that's what we're supposed to do. He's the one that provides a seed for the sower. And so we're to thank God for what He's done for us. And He says then in verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. He said, this is a service done. We give. We do what we're supposed to do. We give. We do that. You see, and He said that also not only brings thanksgiving to God, but it provides the need of the saints. It's the way God provides the need of the saints. I'm going to show you some things in just a moment. That's the way God provides the need of saints. And then He says, while by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. There's never been any gift given like God's gift, his wonderful unspeakable gift of eternal life to us through Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord. So what we're going to look at is, why is it that God gives us so much? What purpose is it? What happens? Why does he do that? First of all, let's look at verse 8, because I want to share with you, it's not, in even in this portion of Scripture, it's not just talking about money. It's not talking about material things. This is a spiritual message that God says. And if you'll notice in verse 8, he says that God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Did you notice there his provision of grace? And it's a provision that absolutely will never run out. God's grace cannot run out. And it's the grace of God that allows any of us to give or to live or to breathe or to be saved or whatever it might be. It's the grace of God. And his grace is absolutely sufficient, not only sufficient for us day by day, but it'll never run out. His grace is sufficient for us, and he has so much grace that there's no one will ever want for the grace of God. Okay? You see, his hand, God's hand is wide open to give unto us his marvelous grace over and over and over again, you see. And let me say to you, though, the supply is always in proportion to our need. Our problem is this. We always want more than what we need. I really think that I can say this. Well, I know I can say it because I know God. There is not a person here that can stand up and say that God never supplied my need. I said my need. There's not a person here. God has always supplied our need. True? You see, what our problem a lot of times is, we want much more than our need. Amen? And so human beings, we're always wanting more and more and more. But God always supplies our need. And let me say to you, many, many times supplies way far above our needs. Doesn't he? Doesn't he do that? There's a little saying here. He says he giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. He addeth affliction. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. You see, God gives according to our need. There was a man by Thomas Fuller who prayed, Lord, please either lighten the load or strengthen my back. One or the other. And God always takes care of us. He'll lighten your load or he'll strengthen your ability to carry what needs to be carried, you see. All right, in 2 Corinthians verse number 10, notice. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increasing the fruits of your righteousness. Now, I want to make a statement or two here. Why don't you just listen? If you was someone who was responsible for giving seed to the sower, would you give it to a sower that wouldn't sow it? No, someone who would keep it in the barn. Now, would you multiply their seed? God doesn't either. You see, in verse number 11, he says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. We are enriched, folks. Listen, we are enriched so we can be generous. That's the way God, that's the reason God enriches us. You see, if we want to have seed to sow, we're going to have to sow it when we get it. I mean, true? See, that's what God is trying to teach us, you see. You see, God, there's a statement, I want to read it to you. It's not my statement. I'm trying to think who it was wrote it, and I can't remember, but listen to the statement. God prospers not to raise our standard of living, but to raise our standard of giving. It's true. No, that's true. And we're going to try to show you that tonight. God is interested not in raising our standard of living. I think all of us are doing real well. But he's wanting to raise our standard of giving. Amen? You see, he doesn't increase over and over our income so that we can indulge our children more than we already have. He doesn't do that so we can spoil them rotten. Hear me? No, he doesn't do that. Or to make us, let me say, independent of him. Now you say, Brother Ross, I never feel independent of him. You watch yourself. Anybody who has a lot of money, and Jesus even said that, it's very hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. He knew the difficulty for rich people to walk with God and even to be saved. You know why? Because their dependence was on their money. And when we get enough money, we get independent of God if we don't be careful. We've got money in the bank, we've got money here, we've got money there, and you know what? So hard times come. We don't have to trust in God, we've got money. That's dangerous. Very, very dangerous. What I'm saying to you, God doesn't multiply your ability to have money so that you can be independent of him. Okay? He's not trying so you can indulge your children with more and more and spoil them rotten. It's not what he's doing it for. I know the children right now are just about hating me, but but that's not the purpose, that God increases the amount of money that he allows us to have. You see, when God provides more money, more blessings, we say, whew, what a blessing. Look what God gave me. Man, look at all of this. Maybe you ought to say instead, what a blessing, what a test. Now, what am I going to do with it? What am I going to do with it? You see, he's not interested in you living a higher standard of living. No, he's not. No, he's not. You think he is, but no, he's not. That's not what it's all about, you see. Now, you say, Brother Ross, does God ask us to live in poverty? Of course not. Do you think for one moment that God cares if you have some things and has the things that you need in life? Do you think God cares about it? Of course he cares, and he wants you to have them. Yes, he does. He's a great God, wonderful God. And he's not against you having some things that'll help you in this life. He's not against that whatsoever. But I want to say something to you, folks. Even though the manager, which I've told you before, of God's money, and that's whose it is. If you got that principle, you may have forgot that one. But everything you have is owned by God, not you or me. You and I are just the managers. Okay, we just manage it for him. And managers have legitimate needs that are legitimate. And God doesn't mind us having those needs met. He's good to us. He loves us. He cares about us. Amen. But let me say something to you. If you had a money manager and you saw that money manager buying the very best of houses, mansions, instead of something that would work just as good with a lot less money, And you saw this money manager that was managing your money going out and buying the very best of automobiles, the most fancy ones, the most fancy gadgets, electronic gadgets, the very best of clothing, spending money after money on them, going to the very best of restaurants. Would you be a little bit concerned about your manager? Yeah, I would. And let me assure you, God is. God is concerned how we manage our money. Why does He give us so much? You better be careful about the unreasonable expenses that God is not pleased with. You say, is it okay if I have legitimate needs met? Absolutely. You've got a wonderful God. Cares about you. Wants you to have those needs met. Loves to give to you. But when we get out here doing things that we ought not to be doing, spending in ways we ought not to be spending, He is not pleased with that. Let me ask you a question. And I'm going to use a figure, and somebody's going to say, well, Brother Ross, is that the figure we use? No, but I'm just going to say to you this. Why buy a $150,000 house when a $75,000 house would do just as good? Do just as good. There's times, and you've heard your preacher say it, there's times to buy better something that you're going to use. I'll give an illustration of that. I went into a hardware store one day and I needed one of these utility knives. And there was one there on sale, and I just picked it up, threw it in the bag, and got home with it, you know, and I think about the second time I used it, it broke. There's times when you ought to look and buy quality, because it'll last you a long time. I believe that. But a lot of times, folk, the more it is will not make any difference whatsoever. It just kind of helps you in a little bit in pride, and I can buy a better thing. Why spend so much money on things that's unnecessary to spend them on? You understand? See, God's not pleased with that. God wants us to be very careful with our money. We are His money managers, and He does care how we spend it. Amen? Now, I want to ask you a question. How does God... It's interesting because it's wonderful to watch God work. But how does God get something from one person over here to the other person? And let's say here, Elizabeth, God's dealt with you. And Michael here has a great need in his life. We're just going to use this, okay? Michael has a great need. And I mean, he really has a need. You have that which Michael needs. Maybe it's $1,000 or maybe it's just something that's a material thing that he might need. How does we get it from here over to here? God looks at somebody and He says, you know what? He bears witness with Elizabeth's heart and says, you know, Michael has this need and I need to get it over to Michael. Well, let me tell you something. I'll use an illustration. When Lori and Chuck lived in North Carolina, every Christmas, Lori loved my fudge. And I would every Christmas, before Christmas time, I would make her a big old thing of fudge and I would ship it out there with the mail. I would get it out there to her and she'd call me and say she received it, you know, and just as happy as could be and was hiding it from Chuck and the rest of the family and all of that, you know. And she was doing that. You think I'm kidding? No, she was hiding that stuff. But anyway... But anyway, how did we get it? How did I get something here to North Carolina? Well, I sent it through the middleman, the mail. Amen, bud. Sent it through the middleman. Now, I want to say something to you. Now, what would you think if that mailman out there in North Carolina got a hold of that and got a hold of that package and went... and decided not to deliver it. Lori would have prosecuted him, I'm sure. But if he took it home and ate it, what would you think? What would I think? I'm trying to get her a plate of fudge. And I'm depending on the mailman to do that. Now, folks, God all the time is trying to get something from one place to the other. That's the way he works. Can he depend on you not to eat it? Or can he depend on you to be the deliverer? Take it where it belongs. You understand what I'm saying? See, this is a serious business. Here a while back, there was a friend of mine out of town sent me a suit. Was going to send me a suit, brand new suit. And it came through the mail up here, and Bud Bowenshin seen it and took it home, and he's wearing it tonight. It's terrible. There isn't a person in here thinks that Bud Bowenshin would do that. And I don't either. But I was just saying to you, you know, there's some people, you see, rather than get the package delivered, use it themselves. And God can't trust them. It delivers its packages. It gets them through. About 20% of them they get through. I'm just saying. I think they do a little better. I think it's 30%. But here is the mail, Brother Ron, all he's worked for. They get it through 100% of the time. I knew you'd love it, Ron. They get it through 100% of the time. Amen. I want to ask you, which one would you use? Who would you use? FedEx or the mail? Now, I want to tell you something. God does the same thing. He uses those who he can trust to get it through. Mm-hmm. And he knows who they are. And he wants to get something from one place to another. He bears witness with that person. Listen, you need to deliver this for me. You need to get this over. Elizabeth needs to get this over to Michael, you see. Need to get it to him soon, you see. Well, what if somebody says, I'll take it. Sarah says, I'll take it over there. And she takes it, and instead of bringing it and delivering it, she takes off with it. Now, Sarah wouldn't do that either. But you understand what I'm saying? See, it's the same principle. All kinds of things that God wants to transfer. That's the way he does it, folks. He wants to transfer things from one person to another. There's a need there. And he wants to get it here, over to here. And he sends it through people he can trust that won't eat it. You understand? Now, I'm saying to you, and I'm just going to ask you, does God use you to transfer things from yours to someone else that has need? Does he ever bear witness with your heart? I need to do this. I need to be one that's willing to transfer as soon as God speaks to get it here to where he wants it without taking it for ourselves. See, God gives extra money, gives extra things to people. Did you know that? All at once God blesses in a real special way and sends extra in. Why did he send it in? Was it just so you could live better life? A more luxurious life? Is that why God gave it? Or was there some other reasons? God's trying to get it over here. Are we willing to deliver it? Amen? 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. Verse 14. And 15. But by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. This is in, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians, did I say, or 1 Corinthians? First, I'm sorry. Let's go back. It's 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. It was right there where we was at. Why didn't you stay there?
I know, because your preacher said 1 Corinthians. Verse 14, 8th chapter. But by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much hath nothing over, and he that hath gathered little hath no lack. Folks, socialism is not being taught here. That's not what being taught. What he's simply saying is there's many times when his people, his children, have needs, and we have extra. And we need to be in the business of being so close to God when he says to give something to somebody who has need, he's the one that tells it. I don't know about you, but God speaks to my heart all the time about things like that. And if he speaks to my heart, I don't know why he wouldn't speak to yours. And he says, no, there's a need here. And I want you to fulfill it. You've got some extra over here. I want you to bring it over here, and I want you to give it to this person over here. You meet the need. God does that all the time. That's the way he does things. You see, now is it because he gives you more or someone else more than what he would give someone else? Is that because he loves you more? No. He loves us. But he's wanting to use us to get it from one place to another. Well, if I can do anything tonight but help you to understand, listen to your God. Listen as he speaks to you about giving and about supplying the needs of others because God told you to. And you don't have to be rich to do that. Amen. That's a principle that God uses, and you need to get in on it. You see, I believe something. I believe if we understood, honestly understood, the out-of-the-world returns that's going to come back to us because of this, one of these days in eternity, I believe we'd be begging God to give us an opportunity to give. Let me show you what happened in the 8th chapter again of this book. 8th chapter, the first verse. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the graces of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that it is a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy, and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Now these are folk who was living in poverty. Now listen to what they say. Praying us, asking us, with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. What you see here is someone who's begging to give. Said, please, we're poverty, but don't leave us out. And I think if we understood the depth of what it's going to mean in eternity, I think we'd be doing some begging and saying, God, don't leave me out in this giving thing. I want to be a part of it. I want you to use me to get it from here to there. I want to be part of that, you see. And that's what they wanted. They begged them to please. They prayed them, and I mean asking them to please accept that gift, even though they were in deep poverty. See, there's more to it, folks. You don't have to be. You don't have to be rich to be a giver. Amen. You give when God tells you to give and opens the door for your giving. I want to ask you a question. Why do you think America is so rich? Why do you think God has so blessed America? Why do you think that God has so blessed Christians in America? Why do you think he's given them so much? You remember this. You remember this. The story of back in the book of Esther, where Mordecai told Esther that she had come to this royal position, this queen, being the queen of this country, for such a time as this. You know what I believe? I believe America is given all of these riches, and Christians are given all of these riches for such a time as this. I believe because God wants us to to give and to give and to give and to help. And let me say, yes, we're doing right by helping the poor and feeding the poor in other countries. I don't like all they do. I don't like the way they do it. But when it comes to giving them something to eat, I'm for it. And God's for it. And America is right in doing that. She's not right in giving away the millions and billions of dollars she gives to these communist countries and some of the things. But to feed the poor, feed them. I believe it's right. I believe that's why America today has the blessings it has upon its nation. But I'm saying to you also, folks, I believe Christians are rich in America. I believe we're rich. And the reason God has allowed that is so we will get the gospel to the rest of the world. You don't find, you tell me some other country right now. I know there's other countries that send out missionaries, and I know there's other countries that do some things. I understand it. But America is the country that sends out so many missionaries, and money pours into these missions works from America. And they ought to do that. It's right to do that. But we can't look at America and say, oh, we ought to do it, America. No, how about us? When God gives to us riches after riches after riches, why is he increasing the seed to be sown so we can live a better lifestyle? No way. No way. No way. God wants us to give and increase giving the seed that he has given to us and to get it planted. Well, you know it or not, but God's not much interested in if you have a $175,000 or $150,000 house. Doesn't interest him a bit. Not concerned about you having that. Not against you having a place to live. Decent, good place to live. He's not against that. But I'm just saying to you, folks, don't go head over heels with this thing. That's not why God gave it to you and to me. He gives it to us so we'll disperse it. Get it from here over to here. Amen? See, God hadn't given us more so we can live better, but that he can see more people saved. That's why with all of my heart I believe we've got to be so careful with our spending. I think it's a problem for every single one of us. We have to be so careful with it, but I think we need to be so careful with our spending. God gave us that money. Whatever it is, God gave it to us. We ought to use it very carefully. Have our needs met, yes, but we ought to, and then we ought to be willing to give it to get the gospel out. Sow the seed. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I just want to ask you, you say, Brother Ross, can God cut the seed off? He's the giver of the seed. Tell you what, if America don't straighten up, he's going to cut some seed off. Christians don't straighten up, he's going to cut the seed off. You won't give it, you won't do right, you won't get it where it's supposed to be given, you won't get it delivered to the right place, so I'll just cut it off. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. So I'm simply asking you, are you one of these people that God can look down upon and say to you, I want you to do this for me, and you do it? I want you to give this here, and you do it. You know God spoke. If you've been a Christian and you've been close to God, you don't have any problem knowing when he speaks. You won't have any trouble. You'll just know it. Holy Spirit of God will speak to you. You'll know it. And you'll know you're supposed to do this or that. Now, does that happen in your life? Let me ask you why if it doesn't. Why should he give you extra seed if you're not going to sow it? Any reason? Why do you give you extra seed if you're going to go out and spend it on yourself and increase your livelihood? Standard of living. Now once again, listen to me. It's all right with God if you have some things. Just be careful about it. Listen to him. But he speak to your heart. Why is it we work overtime? Why is it we get raises? Why is it? What for? You understand what I'm saying? Do you ever think maybe it's because God's wanting some of that seed delivered somewhere? Amen. He just wants it delivered. And he's looking for a faithful deliverer that'll take it and put it where it's supposed to be. Amen. Why treasures? Why do we have so many? So that we will disperse them. Give. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for the Word of God. Thank you for your help, your blessings. I just trust tonight, Lord, that you've dealt with our hearts. We need to be that kind of a people, Lord, that's willing to deliver the package, not consume it. And I pray tonight, Lord, that we'd be willing to even come to an altar of prayer tonight and tell God we want to be your deliverer. We want to be the middleman. We want to be the one that gets it from one place to another. Oh, God, we'll be faithful about it. And I just pray that your will of God, the will of God be done in every life here tonight. That we all, Lord, would be willing to be that kind of people, deliverers for you. Thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.